Hello, guys, and welcome back again to the Football Diary podcast. It's good to have you here. It's been a couple of weeks away with football coming to a bit of a standstill in England, at least for the time being. But back this weekend with the FA Cup fourth round, which actually provided plenty of action, more than the third round, I think. A few big results to talk through. I'm joined by Dave today. Good to see you, man. How's things? Have you seen much football? Anything take your eye over the weekend?
Yeah, good. A couple of obviously eye-catching results that have popped up, and it's been the theme of the FA Cup has lived up to its name this season so far, and we all love to see some upsets, and hopefully it continues.
Yeah, it's the upsets we come for, really, isn't it? But it's difficult when your team's on the end of one, but we'll talk about that in a moment. I'll start with the biggest upset for me. Or was it an upset? That's kind of the point, really. Leicester City losing 4-1 away at Nottingham Forest. So a few pundits beforehand were kind of saying how this was the kind of game you could see Leicester losing on current form. And obviously Nottingham Forest are in a decent run of form themselves. Did you expect it to be quite this emphatic? Because they were good value for their win, Forest, weren't they, really?
Yeah, I could see why a lot of people, expected it to be a tough game for Leicester, with it being up to the derby and how well Forest are doing, especially since Steve Cooper's coming in and taking control. And they've been a real team, real good team actually of late, Forest, and I've seen quite a bit of them just because of obviously Garner's on loan and they're from United and performing really well. But yeah, I'd say in terms of the manner of the defeat, that's a surprise. But I wouldn't say the result is a surprise.
Yeah. I think the fact that the holders as well is kind of a shock. You'd think they'd have more fight for the FA Cup, knowing that it was their trophy. So that's now out of the window. They cannot retain the FA Cup. And I think Brendan Rodgers was quite blunt in coming forward and saying that some of the players didn't deserve the shirt. It's been a 3-year cycle for a few of the players that have been at the club, and I think his words were that you could kind of tell that was the case. Where do Leicester go from here? Because I mean, this is a big defeat for them, not just an FA Cup exit as the holders, but to Nottingham Forest of all teams.
Yeah, and you summed it up there, really. There was a lack of fight in the performance itself, and the players, a few of the players didn't do themselves any favours, especially. No. Indeed, he's not looked himself for quite a while now. He's starting to sort of look a shadow of his former, capabilities. Mm-hmm. What we've seen him over the last couple of years for Leicester, he's just not doing it consistently. And they were losing those duels on the pitch. Forest were first for every 50-50. And, that's the minimum you should expect from a team, really, is 100%. And I don't know whether you could say that they gave 100% on the pitch. And it's a strange one. And it's something that, Leicester have lacked over the course of this season, especially. And they've just not had any consistency. And that mental edge, they've just not had it. And it's, if you don't go into games preparing, for a battle, and you kind of lost, you've kind of almost lost the game already in a way, if you're not prepared to kind of go to battle. And we've seen it in many cases this season. So it wasn't a surprise in terms of that they went out of the competition, but he did say, didn't he, Brendan Rodgers, that's the first time he's felt embarrassed after a game that, while he's been at Leicester, which, says a lot. It'll be interesting to see kind of how he manages these players, because we've seen managers in the past kind of, tear into players in the press and in public and, say, it could be the end of the line for some of them. It'd be interesting to see what changes he does make, because, he needs to have their respect. And if he's not got the, the players' respect, then he's in a lot of trouble, because as we've seen with, footballers these days, there's player power is just, it's unfair, really, in terms of seems to be always the players over the manager. And once the players stop playing for you, then you're in trouble.
Do you think that's what might have been the case then? Because I know you mentioned Ndidi in particular, but their defence was pretty makeshift. They've still got Daniel Amati playing centre-back, haven't they? And Chaglos Iheanacho just doesn't look the same player. And anyone that stepped in, sort of like Vestergaard, has been shambolic. So defensively, they've been horrendous. But the midfield as well, I thought that's where Forest won the game. Their midfield was so much more hungry. And you mentioned Garner as well. He had a great game. Whereas Tielemans as well, and Didi, Maddison just didn't show up. So is that kind of core of players the ones you're kind of hinting at when you're talking about player power?
Yeah, and, you know, we've spoken about this before, and keeping players that potentially don't want to play for you anymore. They don't really know what's happening with Tielemans. It looks like potentially his future might lie elsewhere. And these are sort of issues that you need to clear up in the club. And if somebody is, you know, not 100% committed, then, I mean, it needs to be sorted. You know, we've seen it as United fans on our group of players. If harmony isn't right, then it can, you know, it can affect performances, and it's just something that hampers the club as a whole. And yeah, I don't, you know, you don't like to shout, you know, say names and things like that, but you know, it wasn't like that was a weak team from Leicester. Okay, you know, like you say, a bit of a makeshift defence, but it's been a makeshift defence for most of the season, and they've been leaking goals. But again, it should be a team that should really beat Forest if they're up to it on the day.
Well, they're shielded by Tielemans and Ndidi. You know, that defence should be well protected, but it just wasn't. So the midfield lacks the energy that it has in previous seasons, and who knows what the cause of that is, but kind of feels like there's a few players with their eyes on the exit, maybe. Who knows what Brendan Rodgers' plans are coming forward, but he's talked about a cycle of some of the players being there for 3 years and that being kind of dangerous territory for teams if they don't keep fresh and they don't keep moving forward. So I think there's a bit of Leicester just standing still or regressing even, isn't there? So what does he do to refresh this particular team? Because it sounds like they're going to need major changes again. They're going to need to get that scouting department out there again, looking for replacements for the players that are letting them down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I say, it was an experienced team that was out there, and if your experienced players aren't performing, you know, you can't say it was an old team or an aging team at all. A lot of these players are kind of in their peak. What's Maddison, 24, 25 now? You know, some of these players should really be doing the business. And yeah, again, that's something that he's got to get to the bottom of and find out who's going to be going out the exit door in the summer. Whether the club are going to back him, that's another thing as well. As we've seen with Leicester, you know, they're obviously really well-run club. And I think they need to be realistic with where they're at as a club as well. You know, they're kind of looking to bridge that gap into, you know, the top four, kind of almost taken a couple of steps back now, and they've kind of swapped positions with West Ham as things stand. And again, yeah, like you say, it's, and they've got a lot of assets in there that a lot of clubs would be interested in, like the likes of Fofana. You know, he's been out injured for the whole season virtually. You know, and some of the attacking players have got some really good young attacking players coming through as well. So,
yeah,
you know, they won't be short of interest. But again, you know, clubs be looking at this and thinking, you know, if they're not performing for Leicester, then why should we be interested in them?
Maybe. It's kind of an attitude thing, it looks like, doesn't it, when these kind of things come up and teams kind of seem to down tools. You do look at the players and think, are you going to be there for me as a manager when the going gets tough? And if Rodgers was to leave, for example, who would want to take on the kind of responsibility of managing these kind of quite young but egotistical players? I think they've all got quite big egos, haven't they? Like Maddison knows he's a good player, you can just tell, but it works to his advantage. So you have got a team of quite big egos to manage there. But is Brendan Rodgers the kind of person to do that? Because I think it raises the question now for me of what would that Leicester team look like with a different manager. There's a few names that are available that could do a decent job, you know. You know, would someone like, for example, Ten Hag, United are after him, but would he go to Leicester and go, do you know what, this is a great project for me? Can you imagine the difference someone like that, an up-and-coming European manager, would make to this Leicester team? It's quite an exciting project for somebody. Can you actually see Rodgers eyeing the exit I mean, his stock seemed to be quite high not long ago, but it's slipping with every game that he plays for Leicester, doesn't he, that he manages?
Yeah, and that's, you know, I can imagine that's, you know, probably in his mind as well, that where does he go from here if, you know, it doesn't work out where he is? Because it's kind of going to be another sideways step, you would think. I wouldn't think, you know, any of the top clubs would probably take that gamble and take him on just because of, you know, how he's sort of, his last spell was kind of gone. It's been a little bit turbulent this season especially, and there was obviously all that talk around of him coming into United after, you know, Solskjaer left, and that sort of, you know, as Leicester were kind of unravelling, that kind of simmered out, and you know, it's an interesting one. It'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out for them, but I mean, you can't see any more than kind of mid-table for them at the minute. No. They are. They're very much up and down. And I mean, for me, I think it sounds a bit, you know, it's a bit strange now because Steven Gerrard left Rangers and gone to Aston Villa, but I think he could have been a good manager for someone like Leicester.
True, because yeah.
He's not going to get, you know, what we've seen him get out of Rangers and kind of how Villa have responded to him. It'd be, you know, a bit odd if you couldn't get that kind of reaction at Leicester. And we talk about kind of play respect for managers. And you know, I think when you've got somebody coming in and they've been and done it as a player, and, you know, you kind of try and, I suppose, mirror that being a player underneath somebody, you know, in that mould that Steven Gerrard is. So,
yeah,
I mean, obviously it's all hypothetical now.
It's the crossroads, isn't it? That's the thing. It's that they're in a situation where the board, Brendan Rodgers, the players all have to decide where they want to be. So, yeah, fascinating kind of situation for them. A quick word from you, if possible, on Nottingham Forest as well. What did you make of their performance? Because they're looking so much better than I remember seeing them in the last decade even. I think they haven't appeared in the Championship playoffs for a decade as well. So it's been a long time in the wilderness for them. They're looking all right, aren't they?
Yeah, they're like you say, they've been struggling for years and years now. They were kind of around the bottom of the league, and there were a lot of worries of, you know, relegation over the last few years. And it's definitely promising times. And I suppose as a you know, Forest fans must feel as though, you know, had a feeling from that game that they've not had for a long time, because, you know, well, apart from the Arsenal game and the year before they beat Arsenal, was it?
Yeah.
I mean, what they found this season is consistency, and that, you know, they've got their man in Steve Cooper, and they've you know, built momentum as the season's gone on, and you know, they're ever so close now to the playoffs, and you know, you'd be surprised now if they didn't get into the playoffs come the end of the season.
Yeah. I think a cup run's kind of good for that momentum as well.
Yeah, obviously they've made a good couple of signings. Obviously they've had the striker in from Villa, Davis, isn't it?
Yeah, Davis has been good. He's physical as well. He looks a real threat, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, both Premier League teams he's faced in Arsenal and Leicester. The last couple of games, yeah. He's played well against both of them. Link play well, and he's been too strong for the centre back at times in that game against Leicester, and he was kind of up against Amate and Soyuncu, was proven a threat all game, and they just couldn't handle him. And you know, he linked up well for a couple of the goals, and wasn't lucky to not get one himself, hit the crossbar with a shot, didn't he? And I mean, you know, there's a few players in there that are performing well and impressing, and the fullback Spence, he had a really good game and performed really well against Arsenal, and obviously got himself a goal. It's a bit strange. It's a bit of a strange one, really, how he's on loan from Middlesbrough with how well he's playing.
Well, right next to each other in the table as well, Forest and Borough as well, vying for the playoffs. So, yeah, weird one.
Apparently I've seen he's been linked with Tottenham, I think, and Palace recently in the January window. So you know, he might potentially get his move in the summer. But Johnson as well, I thought he played really well, the threat all game. And, you know, there was energy all throughout the team. You know, we mentioned about the midfield battle, but they were chasing, you know, lost causes, you know, and really kind of pushing. And that enthusiasm, it was kind of, you know, with every single player on the pitch. And I think when you have a team that's like that, you know, it brushes off you onto other players, it's what you want. And to watch the game as a spectacle, it was actually just, you know, a great game to watch. Obviously, you know, Leicester didn't probably perform like they would have liked, but as a neutral, it was a good game. And, like you say there was plenty of performances for Forest to be proud of, especially from some of the young players. And, you know, you look at that team and it's a really young team as well. You know, it's not the full of, you know, experienced players. There's obviously a lot of youth in there, and, you know, they're looking towards a bright future. And hopefully, I'd like to see them get in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a tough league, the Championship. So, yeah, there's still quite a few question marks there. But I think the way they've performed against a high calibre of opposition looks pretty promising. But the thing is, with loan deals as well, if you've got talented loan players, you're not obviously always guaranteed to keep them. So if they were to be promoted, it's how they would then replace the likes of Garner in the Premier League, you know.
I think that's the thing as well. You know, we've seen it in the years past. I think Derby went through a spell with, you know, getting in the playoffs and just not kind of, you know, making it over that last hurdle. Preston North End did it for a number of years. You know, they made the playoffs consistently and just couldn't get back into the Premier League. Sometimes it's, you know, you kind of have to make that step. And because, you know, like you say, you've got a lot of loan players there who will, you know, make a return to the parent clubs probably at the end of the season, or go on loan elsewhere. You don't know. But, you know, a lot could ride on this, really, for Forest. But I mean, with the manager they've got, who knows, you know, this can only be a positive step.
Yeah. Talking about FA Cup spectacles, what about what I think is probably a real essence of an FA Cup tie is Kidderminster 1, West Ham 2. So when that kind of game is televised, like, you get a real feel for the fixture, don't you, as an FA Cup tie, because it's always in the smaller team's ground, it always feels so much more atmospheric. And the noise that they generated at Kidderminster was amazing. And they took an early lead, which was, you know, deserved, and made it really difficult for West Ham. And I was kind of gutted for them. First of all, when the equaliser went in the last minute of the game. And then the same thing happened for the winner in the last minute of extra time. So a really cruel way to bow out of the FA Cup. I felt for them so much, but what a great advert for the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was probably the cruelest manner it could have ended, really, in both scenarios, and how they obviously conceded in the final minute of, you know, full time of the 90 minutes, and then, you know, in extra time as well. It couldn't have been any worse. But I mean, you know, they've got to be proud of what they've been able to achieve, and, you know, in the previous round as well, and to get as far as they have from, you know, their background. They've, you know, done so well, and you can't really fault them, especially, if I'd say, for the first half, they were, you know, they stopped West Ham from playing. They were pressing high. There was a lot of energy, and, you know, there was some of their quality of their play was actually quite good for the, you know, standard of football they play. You know, it was, you know, fascinating watch and exciting watch. And I think, like you say there, the atmosphere was electric. You know, it was an absolute packed full house, and, you know, that's what you want to see. And being in, you know, the stadiums like that, it just kind of, you know, makes you, I suppose, as a player, you know, coming at that level, does, you know, you dream of those moments, I suppose. And it kind of obviously brings it to reality when it happens, and it doesn't happen too often, but I can imagine you'll remember this experience for a long time.
Yeah, I think when the disappointment fades, I'm sure the players will be really proud of what they've achieved, because before obviously the equaliser went in, they're on the verge of becoming the first team, I think, in cup history to be knocked out a Premier League team from the sixth tier. So, you know, Kidderminster Harriers are in the National League North. So it'd be the biggest upset really in FA Cup history on paper. So yeah, gutting for them. But West Ham ground out a really positive result there because they weren't on top the whole game, but they definitely dominated. You know, Kidderminster held pretty firm. But again, the duo of Declan Rice and Jared Bowen really pulled it out for them. They're like the engine of this West Ham team this season, aren't they? They've been great.
Yeah, and you know, I think the way you've got to look at it is from Kidderminster's perspective is that, you know, a team of the level of West Ham could have absolutely, you know, on their day, destroyed them, you know, and been comprehensive victory. And, you know, can you imagine how they probably would have felt at the end of, you know, 6 or 7 nil drubbing? But to keep it as tight as they did and as competitive as they did, you know, they should, you know, be proud of that. Obviously, in the manner that, that it's happened, it's obviously going to be devastating and you're kind of going to be looking back and thinking what it, but to do what as they did was brilliant. But yeah, like you mentioned there, Bowen and Rice, the two key players really this season, you would say, kind of stepping up when they were needed most and made that impact. And yeah, it's a good result for West Ham and obviously they're into the next round and
we'll it's early days, really, isn't it? I mean, because the competition's still only in the fifth round coming up. But I would probably say West Ham are amongst the favourites now. They're one of those teams that you can see really being driven by the prospect of an FA Cup. And they're the kind of team that has the quality to go all the way in a cup competition. Because on their day, they can beat pretty much any Premier League team with the right conditions. And I'd have them down as kind of outsiders for the competition. You know, they look pretty good, don't they? I'm putting it out there and saying that, but it's early days, I know. But they look like they could progress if they can keep their key players fit.
Yeah, I mean, especially at home, you could imagine not many teams will want to go there. While obviously they're still in the early stages of the competition, early-ish mid stages, they'll definitely be, you know, one of the top teams in there, you'd expect probably make a good go of it. And like you say, a good outside bet for winning the competition, even with the likes of obviously Liverpool and Man City, Chelsea still in. I can't imagine any of those teams would like to come up against West Ham.
True.
Because on the day, you know, they can obviously cause an upset. They're not the team they were, you know. They're not the team that would kind of would see them roll over sometimes in the way they're defeated these days. They are a difficult game, you know.
Yeah.
They will put up a fight against all of the big teams, and they've got the difference is now they've got the quality in there to make the difference. Some of these players, yeah, like Bowen and Rice, obviously, in the way they can control a game. So definitely, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they went and won it. Obviously, we could see a repeat of the Liverpool West Ham final.
Yeah. Wow. If it's as good as that was, which was a classic, then yeah, we're in for a treat. But I mean, Rice didn't even start the game. He came on at half time, I think, didn't he? And what impact he had. He's one of them players they're going to struggle to keep hold of, I think. I think there's a lot of big names after him, United included. So yeah, whether they can keep him will be key to them progressing next season, I guess, beyond what they've achieved this season and last. But yeah, generally, great performance from West Ham to grind it out, as gutting as it was for Kidderminster and for the neutral. But it's been a good FA Cup so far, I think, for Championship teams especially. And you look at Middlesbrough beating United on penalties, which was, again, a cruel way to lose for United, but not actually altogether surprising. I know we're quite negative at the moment as United fans, but when it went to penalties, you just had this feeling, didn't you, that it was Middlesbrough's day. And they deserved the win, to be fair to them. United played pretty well for the whole, which is very wasteful. But again, like Forest, Borough did themselves no end of favours by just turning up on the day, didn't they?
I mean, I don't know if it was more Borough turning up or United giving the game away. I feel as though up until sort of the 60th minute, up until Borough scored, it was pretty much one way. You know, United were well in control of the game, and
yeah,
the amount of chances that they had was astounding. I can't remember a game like that for a good long while.
Well, the fact like Ronaldo missing a penalty, and you know, Bruno hitting the post when he's through on goal, these were all things that rarely happen once, but for all of these things to happen in the same game, it just wasn't United's day, was it? It was really wasteful.
Yeah, I think maybe the last time I can remember us having that many chances was against Sevilla in Europe.
Yeah.
2 years ago, where we in the first half, we just had a ridiculous amount of chances. Mm. They scored, and then, you know, it just kind of went all downhill from there. And yeah, like you mentioned, it was all one way in the first half, much of the second, to be honest, as well. But yeah, like you mentioned there, it's myself, I felt as though if we didn't score another goal, if it went to penalties, I thought we were going to lose it. I didn't expect us to win the penalty shootout. So I kind of set myself up for that, I suppose, but for that disappointment. But I mean, for much of the game, you know, we played quite well. That's probably as many chances we've created all season against the team, and you know, albeit against the Championship opposition side, you know, Middlesbrough are a decent team in the Championship. So I'm not going to, you know, moan too much about it, because on another day we could have been 4-0 up at half time, and that wouldn't have been told a false story of that half, because especially first half we were just so wasteful. One positive I would say is Sancho looked really good. Probably the best game he's had for us since he's come to us, and you know, he's
did Henderson actually. I thought Henderson had a decent game overall.
He did, until the penalties, and you just couldn't hear any of the penalties. So a lot of their penalties were really good. I think one of them went under and probably could have saved that, but don't want to be too critical there. But Sancho, his movement, off the ball movement, was really good. You could see the runs he was trying to make in behind. He was always on the shoulder of the defender. Link play really well. Good to see Pogba back as well. As soon as he went off, it was night and day, our creativity. As soon as he went off, we just had no control really late in the game, and we lost that bit of spark. It wasn't until sort of like the last 10 minutes of extra time we started to kind of really push on again. We just kind of didn't have any sort of momentum behind us. It's disappointing, but you know, as we've seen with the FA Cup, these things happen.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. There's been so many chances created, and obviously the nature of the equaliser for Middlesbrough was just super contentious as well. So even after a VAR review, they're not giving the handball because it was accidental.
What do
you make of that?
Probably one of the worst decisions we've seen this season.
If that was a defender, it would have been a penalty, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
There isn't. And they were saying it's all because of this rewording that they've had that... Oh, so it's okay to pass someone the ball with your hand as long as you're not scoring directly from a handball.
So that's the thing. If he'd have scored himself after handling the ball, albeit accidentally, they would have chalked off the goal. Because he passed it to a teammate and they scored, so it's all okay.
That seems, that's the case. But
mental rule. But then that's another one of those factors that kind of made the game feel even more frustrating for United, because that just wouldn't happen usually.
It wasn't like he was in control of the ball. The ball came down and brushed his hand.
Yeah.
How he controlled the ball, it directly had an impact on where the ball went into his path, and obviously made the assist with it. Bizarre, I was 99% sure that was going to be disallowed when we were showing the replays, and everyone was just kind of astonished, I feel, even the commentary, listening to it. I don't know. At the end of the day, I'm not as annoyed, because we've only got ourselves to blame, really. with the amount of chances we missed, it shouldn't have even mattered. It should have been a consolation goal. We should have been 5 or 6 goals up probably at that point. So I'm not going to moan about it.
Magic of the FA Cup, eh? So I'm not going to go into detail with any more games in particular, but is there anything else from this weekend that's taken your eye? Because we've had the transfer window close as well. So is there any transfers that have stood out or any other FA Cup games that you want to sort of point out or anything in the news from the last week that we might have missed? What stood out to you?
Yeah, obviously, you know, we were speaking about Everton before we came on air, and obviously some of the acquisitions they've made in Van der Beek and Dele Alli, and obviously they've got a new manager in Frank Lampard. You can only say, going off of, you know, the game that they had at the weekend, it's, you know, I'm sure Everton fans are just delighted to have a bit of positivity about them. On the back of that result, you know, and on the back of a couple of good players that they've brought in, even though obviously Van der Beek didn't manage to play because obviously he was cup tied. But, you know, a good win against a good Brentford team. And, you know, I think Lampard said that's probably one of the best, you know, best moments he's had so far in football.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, I mean, this appointment of Lampard in the first place, in the middle of a season, could go either way, really. It could be an absolute masterstroke, or it could be a complete disaster because of Everton's reputation. And the players they've brought in as well, like Dele Alli, I mean, he's such a mercurial talent, isn't he? He's so up and down, depending on who his manager is. Like under Pochettino, he was flying. And I think when he's got the trust of a manager like that, which Lampard, I think, could be, then he might actually get to his best again, because he was up there with one of England's brightest talents once upon a time. So I'm really keen to see Everton's progress now. Like, they could be an absolute disaster, or they could absolutely be flying at this point. Who knows?
Yeah, I think in a way, kind of pressure's off in a way, because I just think there's too many, you know, worse teams than Everton in the league for them to go down. And he's brought a couple of players in who, you know, looking to prove themselves. Ali obviously not getting much game time since Conte's come in, and you know, Van der Beek's been lacking minutes for a long time at United. So
yeah,
they'll be looking to, you know, stake a claim, especially with obviously the World Cup coming in the end of the year as well. And obviously the only thing is, the only downside is I think a couple of players in there will probably be looking probably for the exit door, maybe at the end of this campaign, and probably Richarlison, maybe even Calvert-Lewin. But even since Calvert-Lewin's come back from injury, he's not played, you know, his best football since, you know, before obviously he got injured. So whether he can get up to that level again, I'm sure Everton will, you know, want him to. The only thing is, again, if those players do go out the door, are Everton going to bring in the right players? Because we've seen with their recruitment policy in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, it's been, you know, we've spoken about it over the last couple of months, haven't we?
Well, we've just always also said about the last few signings they've made in this window being actually pretty positive. So, you know, maybe they've turned the corner, who knows?
Yeah, and I think if it wasn't for Lampard going in, I don't think Ali and Van der Beek would be there.
No. I think he's done a Gerrard, really, where Gerrard's obviously focusing on his midfield that are in his mould, really, to kind of drive Villa forward. And I think that's the same with Lampard. He's got two very creative midfielders who could actually score quite a few goals, you know, with the right positioning, with the right role in the team. So, yeah, there's definitely an influence from him, I think, in those two signings.
I mean, I imagine he's got a system in his mind that he probably wants to play, but he's got, you know, he's got options in there. You know, they weren't really, they had some decent options in midfield, central midfield, before they kind of came in. Obviously, Andre Gomez, Alan, and a couple of others before they obviously brought in Van der Beek and Ali.
Well, James Rodriguez for a while.
Yeah, we could see Ali play off, you know, the front man, which is where I feel as though is his best position rather than. I don't feel as though Van der Beek plays that sort of role. You know, we've seen him playing sort of 10 position for Ajax, and he didn't really get that opportunity for United. But I feel as though he can play a little bit further back and be part of sort of like a three, which is probably what we'll see for Everton. But it'd be interesting to see his first game and kind of, you know, how they do in the next few weeks. They've got a big game, a big, big game tomorrow against Newcastle.
Yeah, massive.
You know, that couldn't have come up at a worse time for Newcastle, really, with kind of how Everton, you know, made those changes and Lampard's. And, you know, you can imagine that they'll be well up for that. So that'll be an interesting game.
Yeah, I think so, because Newcastle have made some interesting moves in the transfer market as well, which brings me on to the weird transfer merry-go-round that involves Chris Wood, Burnley, and is it Wout Weghorst, the replacement they've signed from, is it Wolfsburg as well, who's, what, 6'6" or something like that, and pretty much a direct replacement for Chris Wood. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because he looks like an upgrade, and yet Wood's just gone to Newcastle for like £25-30 million. So are Burnley actually playing us all with this kind of transfer moves? That's a decent kind of bit of business there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've been clever about it and how they've spent their money. We've seen them, you know, kind of scarcely even use the transfer market over the last few years. You know, they've not been a club that have kind of gone in there and made these high-profile signings kind of very much under the radar. And, it'd be like you say, it's an interesting one. And, you know, they had a draw against Watford at the weekend, which, to be honest, didn't really do much for either team, and it was a big game for both teams. That was really a big, you know, big 3 points if it was there for either team. I mean, I can imagine, you know, they were looking to replace his goals and whether they can score enough goals. We've seen Burnley, you know, over the years, they've been set on a solid foundation, set up in terms of, you know, being solid and hard to beat, and they've not scored the most goals, but, you know, they've managed to get the odd result, even against some of the big teams. Obviously, you know, not last year. Was it last year against Liverpool? I think it was, when Liverpool were going for the title with Man City, and I think they upset their...
Yeah, it probably was last year, actually. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, this last couple of years all blend into one with just
it the feels like, yeah.
The moment. So, you know, we've seen them. They're well capable of, you know, creating an upset against some of the teams in there that perhaps, you know, they're not quite up there in terms of quality with them. But they've not been short of endeavour and commitment, which, you know, Sean Dyche's teams have been built upon. So it'd be, I mean, again, we've seen it's not easy to kind of acclimatise to Premier League football, especially in from January onwards. Full time, but I mean, I can only imagine they've done what they can to give themselves a chance.
Yeah, it's not a bad piece of business. And even if it is a direct replacement for Chris Wood, Burnley doing what Burnley always do, really, aren't they? And getting players in the same mould. So, you know, fair play to them. I can't see them escaping relegation still, though.
Yeah, they've got Maxwell, obviously Cornet's back, isn't he now?
Probably. Yeah, they started the game together, actually, as a pair, Weghorst and Cornet. So it looks like a decent strike force.
I mean, they've obviously still got some games to play, but obviously we're in hand. So,
Other bits of business I think worth noting for me personally are Roy Hodgson coming back into management, which was nice to see, but not with Watford. Like, come on, that's the worst place for a nice guy like for him to go. Like, come on, why do that to yourself? You know, I'm a bit gutted about that.
I was quite surprised he's come back into football, to be honest. I just assumed that after he left, you know, Palace and kind of, you know, by it was mutual consent that was going to be the end of his reign. I thought that was pretty much him done with football now, in terms of kind of like his age and that was a surprise for me. That was a big surprise.
Well, who else is going to take it, to be fair, apart from a manager they've had to coax out of retirement, because it's an awful place to manage, isn't it? And just so many challenges there. I wouldn't envy anybody. So maybe it's a short-term thing for all parties and that just works.
Yeah, I think so, to be honest.
And then finally, just a big congratulations to Senegal winning the Africa Cup of Nations. You know, it was a bit of a dull, tight affair in the final against Egypt, but they've won their first ever AFCON, which is, you know, massive news because they've been so close and favourites for so many years in the competition, but they've actually finally lifted the trophy. So, yeah, good job there. Did you watch any of it?
A bit of a stretch for Egypt to win three penalty shootouts, I think. You know, they got 3-2, but, you know, and their keeper was, you know, monstrous in some of those shootouts, some of those saves that he made. Obviously, even the Mane save in the final, brilliant save. And I'm sure he'll have put himself in the wind.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. But no, it was nice to see the Africa Cup of Nations get some exposure, really, wasn't it? And yeah, great news for, great story for Senegal as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. We've got a load of football this week in the Premier League happening again, actually, midweek. So we'll probably be back with a pod of some kind just to discuss that. But if you haven't already, please hit subscribe. That'd be a massive help to us. We've got such a low amount of subscribers at the moment, and we are trying to grow this year. So please do us that favour. Or at least hit the like button if you can, just to kind of help the YouTube algorithm along and get more people watching us. That'd be amazing. But Dave, thank you for your time. Appreciate you coming on again. Hopefully get Miles back next time out. But until then, yeah, good to see you, mate.
And see you soon.
Take care. See you soon.